You're not planting a rose bush expecting cucumbers.
Correct.
You're not planting a rose bush expecting lavender to grow.
Keep giving examples. These are great.
That's it.
That's all I got for you.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
Bean, today, karma is your boyfriend.
Ooh, thanks, Taylor.
Hi, Beanie.
Hi.
What's happening?
Nothing. I am just going to jump right into Cringe and Delight, and I'm going to be totally honest with you right now. I have the half of my computer screen covered with papers because I can't look at Bean's face because this is actually my dual cringe and delight, actually. We were just laughing so hard that we had to keep restarting because we were laughing too hard at a quote that I used in last week's episode that we decided completely was unrelated. But in my mind at the moment, it made so much sense. But I sounded like a complete moron during the episode, and it really brought us both to tears discussing it again, so much so that I had to cover your face.
You didn't sound like a moron. You sounded like a surfer dude that really appreciated the waves. Ride the waves, man.
Anyway, we were laughing so hard. We were crying. We couldn't even get this episode off because I couldn't even look at your face without dying of laughter.
Yes, I know. Well, we got it together. Bean, how do you like my shirt? I'm still in my Cowboy Carter phase.
Oh, I see. Yeah, why not? I'm not mad about it at all. Oh, yeah, I love it for you.
I'm listening to that album over and over again. I can't stop it.
The bee doesn't quit. She just is a nonstop. She's a nonstop source of divinity, if you ask me.
You know what my favorite song is on that album right now?
What?
Bodyguard.
I don't know it, but I'll know it.
It sounds like Fleetwood Mac could have recorded it.
You had me at Fleetwood Mac. Do you want me to share a quote?
No, thank you. Well, you are banned from sharing quotes evermore.
Agreed. Never again. But please, share your cringe and delight. I probably stole your delight, which was laughing till we cried.
Oh my God. I literally couldn't function. I was laughing so hard. My delight is that TJ and I are headed to Bali next week.
Ayo!
Heyo!
I don't even know what to say.
I'm so excited. I've never been. We're going for a retreat that I'm teaching at.
Bravo.
And I know. I'm just so 10 days, which is so luxurious for us to go away.
Yeah.
Little anxious about not seeing the kids for 10 days. But I think I'll
feel like
it.
You're going to be so zenned out that you're going, it's going to be okay.
I hope so. And then the second part of my delight is that in order for that to happen, my mama shows up today.
Mimi.
Mimi's love her. Come stay with the kids and I get to give her hugs and love before we go. So yeah, I'm really excited. I will share a report on Bali when I'm back.
I can't wait. Keep me posted.
I know. There's so much to think about. Like we keep getting emails from the organizers talking about don't check a bag. Oh my God. Do you understand? Me, I can't check a bag. Me. The clothes, horse, hair, makeup, junkie.
What do you mean don't check a bag? Just bring your carry-on?
Apparently the baggage claim takes 2 hours and then traffic gets all crazy. And so if you want to avoid all of that nonsense, so I am attempting to pack 2 carry-ons.
I would risk for a 10-day trip, I would probably have to risk the 2 hours and the traffic to make it through with a big bag.
Well, you're about to be amazed because I am almost done packing and I have fit everything into 2 carry-ons. I don't even know myself.
Honestly, I was impressed when you came to Nashville with a carry-on.
Oh, right.
And that was like 3 days and I was like, how'd you do it? What's your secret? Right? Yeah,
well, now shuck I'm gonna it. Do it for 10.
I don't
The thing
understand.
Is, Bali is so hot that the clothes are a lot thinner.
Yeah,
which
they
is
are.
Helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing travel size everything. I don't even know what that was. And there's just a lot of warnings about, let's see, traffic. What was the other one? Oh, mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are apparently out of control, insane.
Oh, no. What do you do? Yeah. Just bring spray?
Bring a lot of spray. It's in the middle of the jungle. So that
How
makes
can you
sense.
Bring a lot
We're
of spray when you have 2 carry-ons? How much spray could you fit?
I'm going to bring travel size mosquito repellents.
Not enough, Dad.
And yeah. Oh, and then also my hair is going to be a hot mess, I've been told repeatedly.
Oh, so just put it back the whole time and that helps you with hair products to not bring.
I hate my hair back. The humidity level yesterday when I looked at the forecast is 95%.
Woof.
Can you believe that?
Have you ever seen the episode of Friends when they're in, I think they're in like Barbados, and Monica's hair.
And Monica's hair.
It's like that.
And she's doing that ping pong tournament.
Yeah.
Exactly. With her hair all, yeah. That's going to be me. I'll send you some photos.
Can't wait.
Well, Bean, today I told you Karma was going to be your boyfriend.
Karma is my boyfriend.
We're talking karma. How do you feel about talking about karma today?
I feel great. And I think it's kind of a cool piggyback on our last week's episode, sort of like the religion, spirituality. I think we even mentioned karma because we knew we'd be doing it this week. I'd love to know more about it. I throw it out there a lot, like with my kids, but I don't even honestly sometimes know if I believe in it or I just am trying to preach, just be your best self whenever you can.
Which takes me to my point of why I wanted to do this episode, which is that you hear the word karma thrown around a lot, and it's used a lot as a punishment threat, right?
Totally.
Like karma's going to get you.
Karma will get you, yeah.
And so I wanted to sort of demystify karma and make sure that we understand the essence of that word from a self-actualization and personal growth and spiritual standpoint.
And how about your signature move, a little history on karma, please?
A little history on karma. I won't give a lot of history on karma, but I do think that we have to give a nod, obviously, to Hinduism and Buddhism, which is responsible for thinking about karma and bringing it into the modern conversation. So why don't I start by telling you what it is?
Please.
All right. So according to Hinduism and Buddhism, karma is the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence, viewed as deciding their fate in future existences.
That's one of the points that gets me, I have to say. Like, why do I have to be living according to something I could have potentially done in a past lifetime? Like, why am I not being judged in this lifetime and what I'm currently doing? Go.
I'm going to tell you, and it's not about judgment. I'm so glad you used that word.
Great.
Informally, not from a Buddhist or a Hindu perspective, karma is just defined as destiny or fate or following as cause and effect.
Okay.
So one thing leads to another. There are four main principles of karma that I just wanted to acquaint us with. And here are the four main principles. One, small actions can lead to great results. So
Agreed.
The smallest thing you can do can bring about an immense amount of happiness or sadness. And so what you might consider a small act of goodwill might make an incredible change in someone else's life. And again, you know, that could be the converse of that can be true. But ripple effect, small actions can lead
Pay
to large
it forward.
Results.
Right.
The second principle is that karma is non-transferable. You're responsible for your karmic experience. Means that when you create karma, you will then be responsible for experiencing that karma. No one can remove that karma for you. You cannot hand that karma to someone else. Your karma is your experience. The third principle, non-committed actions won't give you the results you want. You have to fully commit to an intent. You have to commit to an action to bring about the results you desire. So
I mean,
if you are trying to work with karma, then it requires commitment and focus to your actions and your intentions.
Which I think should be true no matter what, whether you believe in karma or not.
Yes, absolutely.
Ride that wave.
Lastly, karmic actions won't disappear on your own. You have to experience the results, good or bad, of your karma in order to neutralize or balance them.
Those Even are the four- from your past lives?
Yes, those are the four principles of karma.
So unfair, karma.
So let's get into why. You know, karma in general, when you think about it, the concept of karma promotes what we just talked about is intentional action, right? So let me just break that down and then we'll get into what we were talking about around past lives. So let's look at intentional action this way. Let's say that you plant a rose bush. When you plant that rose bush, you're expecting what to grow?
A rose bush. Roses.
Right. You're expecting roses. You're not planting a rose bush expecting cucumbers.
Correct.
You're not planting a rose bush expecting lavender to grow.
Keep giving examples. These are great.
That's it. That's all I got for you.
Oh, man.
That is like the most basic analogy around this being about promoting intentional action. Karma in the psychological sense is the same. If you act with good intentions, happiness will follow. If you act with ill intentions, harm and problems will follow. The seed you plant is going to reap whatever it is that you intended it to be when you planted the seed. And so I think one of the problems with karma is that we can sometimes see dishonest or cruel people receive positions of power or get ahead in life.
Right.
And we can see really loving, kind-hearted people go through hardships,
yes,
die young, experience a really difficult life. And that's where I think the concept of karma can become really difficult to wrap our heads around, because yes, if it's about intention, whatever seed you plant grows, then how can people who intend harm be experiencing such a positive life and those who don't intend harm experience
correct
a negative
life? This is
life.
My struggle with karma, one of yeah my greatest struggles with understanding karma or believing in it.
Right. So I wanted to just name that right there, because I think that is the general difficulty with karma. Now, everything we're about to say is going to depend on the idea that you believe in or are willing to think about the soul as reincarnating or as coming back to re-experience life in the human body in different lifetimes. So just to be clear, everything we're going to talk about related to karma from here on out is around this spiritual understanding that the soul manifests in different bodies to experience different human experiences. So let's just start with, what is the soul again? Bean? The soul is the very essence of you that existed before you were born and will exist after you die. And my belief system, and many, many belief systems out there, and particularly those that embrace karma as a phenomenon, is that the soul cannot expand unless it has tangible experience.
Right.
The soul is intangible. The tangible is the human body. So to experience life in a tangible way, the soul inhabits a body. That body has life experiences. And through those life experiences, the soul understands things like winning and losing, grief and joy, love and hatred, whatever it might be. The soul can only experience those actual human experiences through the human body.
So if the verdict is still out for me on whether or not the soul has been through many lifetimes, can I not then believe in karma?
We'll get there.
Great.
Let's just stay in this track, and then we will get to karma in this lifetime.
Go.
Yeah. So going back to this concept that the soul comes back to re-experience things, then what that means is that the soul is attempting to experience every element of the human experience so that its experience is whole and fulfilled by the end of its manifestations or reincarnations. Right. So you may have heard that the enlightened one in a Buddha is, in Buddhism, a person who has had the full karmic cycle of all experiences and completed the human experience. Same belief in Hinduism. So if that's true, then the soul is going to come into a personality, right? Come into a human experience and have a set of experiences. In those set of experiences, it is going to create a ripple effect. It is going to have impact on others around it. That ripple effect creates energy in the larger consciousness, right? I do something to you, Bean, I hurt you. Then I disappear from your life and I die, right?
So tragic. This is taking a tragic turn, Bean.
I know. I'm sorry. That ripple effect that I've put out into the larger consciousness has now created an imbalance. It's created an experiential imbalance because you experienced harm from my actions,
right?
That I did not then receive or be able to have any kind of understanding of or accountability for.
Okay.
So my soul goes on to my next lifetime.
Right.
Then that harm that I created to you, let's say I abandoned you, right? Mm-hmm. Is an experience my soul needs to have abandonment
in
to
its next
balance
lifetime
the energy in the greater consciousness.
But that's so unfair. Don't you feel? Well, I understand it's part of the journey and there's beauty in all of it, but that feels really unfair and feels like the explanation as to why bad things can happen to good people.
Right. What feels unfair?
What feels unfair is that you're essentially, I mean, your body only knows this lifetime, right? And then your body is then experiencing all of these emotions and pains and feelings from something unrelated to this body's experience.
Yeah.
And that feels like I'm taking on somebody else, even though from that perspective, it's the same soul. I don't have that knowledge. I can't clearly remember a past lifetime. So it just feels like it's me. And why would something so terrible be happening to me if I'm putting out good vibes?
Yeah. Which is part of the experience your soul needs to have. That feeling of injustice, because that feeling of injustice was created by that soul in a previous experience. So knowing that feeling of why me, what the hell, is part of your soul balancing the energy, because it's now fully inhabiting the experience of why me, this is unfair.
I get it. But that in itself feels unfair to me. Mm-hmm. It feels like being punished for some other being's sins.
Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely a understandable feeling, and only can feel binding if you look at your life as it being limited to this one speck of dust on this planet in this moment in time.
Right.
But if you look at your life as something that is about your soul's journey across time to expand and grow, then you see it as one experience among many that is leading to growth. You're laughing.
I was instantly drawn back to my last week's quote about the waves will come, which could be karma from another lifetime, but you have to learn how to surf it. It doesn't matter what it is. That was sort of the point of that quote, was that the whole things will happen out of your control, whether that be karma from another lifetime or somebody else's actions or what have you. But you need to learn in this moment to ride it no matter what.
You're really trying to redeem this quote. I see it. You know what?
I hope that clarifies for anyone confused by last week's episode.
You've now brought up the surfing analogy in two episodes. And I was, let's just see.
I was instructed to never make use quotes again. So just disregard that.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to put a poll out there on our social and see how many people resonated with your quote. Okay?
Yes.
This is a promise.
Please do it. Can we do it on your channel? Because there's way more followers. Speaking of, go follow us on Insta at Signal with Maury and Melissa.
Yes, we'll put it on my channel. We'll put it on your channel because we need to know. We need to know from the people.
I want the facts.
If they like your surfing analogy quotes.
Thank you. I'll share some other quotes one day that I have that I feel are very meaningful. Anyway, I also would like to share that I say all this stuff about karma. Yeah, of course. From a person who I feel has mostly only had good karma most of my life.
Oh, really? Excuse? Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Tell us more about
that. I don't know
what
that means about my soul's journey. I don't know. I just feel like I truly, for the most part, try to come from a place of love and kindness as often as I can. I think people around me who matter to me believe that and see that in me. And I try to truly operate like that as much as I can. And I feel like I mostly, thus far, have been blessed in a lot of ways. I don't know if it's karma or luck or whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to tease it apart right now with this conversation.
So you're saying that your lifetime has felt supported and loved in a way that makes you feel like, oh, okay, I'm experiencing the good karma of past actions.
Yes. I don't know if it's past actions from a past life, but I feel, at least at this point in my life, that I really try to come from a place of good and that type of energy is either returned to me or I'm only allowing that type of energy to come back to me in certain ways. Could be either.
One author I would recommend if you're interested in just learning more about karma in a more spiritual way is Gary Zukav. He wrote Seed of the Soul. It's an international bestseller, times 100. Gary Zukav talks about karma in his book, Seed of the Soul, as almost the second tenet of understanding the soul. So it's that important in his work. And he talks about a lot of what I laid out.
Right.
He talks about, and he talks about when I say, you know, your soul comes back, he talks about that your soul takes on different personalities. So each human experience is a personality. It's a reflection right. of one aspect of that prism. And so each personality comes back with different aspects, different elements to That's experience cool. different sides of the prism. So if you think of us as like a, you know, multifaceted 20-sided diamond, right? Ooh. The soul comes back as one aspect of one facet
right.
with a certain set of personalities to experience right. life. It creates karma. That karma then creates another aspect, and so on and so on and so on, so that you're experiencing the wholeness, the fullness of it all. So anyway, I highly recommend Seed of the Soul, or just checking out Gary Zukav. He's also been on Oprah's Super Soul podcast, but he does, I think, a pretty good job of explaining the same concept of the personalities coming back, you know, creating ripple effects and then experiencing the effect of those ripple effects in the next personality to balance the energy.
Let's get him on this podcast is what I'm thinking.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Gary Zukav, reach out.
Call us.
Okay, fine. Fine. I'll give it to you, right? So then can you say karma is neutral? Would you say karma is a neutral thing?
Karma is neutral. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Thanks. Because I think that the way that it's discussed, like I said, in our culture right now is that karma is, you better watch out for it or it's a punishment. Yeah. Right. And I can see why, because again, it is this idea of a ripple effect. So if you're going to create harm, it's going to ripple back to you. Harm is going to ripple back to you. So yes, that can be seen as be careful.
Especially if it was from another lifetime and it's coming back to you in this lifetime, that really feels like a punishment to me.
Yeah, totally. But karma is neutral if you believe that it is the vehicle that allows your soul to expand and have more and more experiences to balance the energies, balance good and negative energies. It is just the vehicle that is balancing all of the good and the bad in the world and all of those experiences.
Okay.
But you're right. It can absolutely feel like a punishment when you're living a life that feels harmful, painful, you know, where there's suffering in your life. It does feel unfair. It does feel punishing. But again, it helps me to see that as one part of a larger journey for my soul. So I'll be really honest. I have a very difficult co-parenting relationship with someone who can be really, really harmful in their communication with me and hurtful in their communication with me. And when I am in the lowest part of my consciousness and in the most contracted, triggered, fearful part of my consciousness, there is that part of me that feels like, this is so unfair. Yeah. I've been such a kind, loving mother and even ex-wife.
Yes.
This kind of treatment, like, what did I do to deserve it?
Where's it coming from? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When I think about it through the lens of karma as a neutral, balancing energy in my soul, then what I understand is, okay, I am experiencing the other side of this form of vitriol and harm because I have created that experience in another at some point, which allows me to experience my ex with non-judgment. It allows me to experience him as you are in a personality that is projecting an experience back to me that I have also done, which does not make me any better than you. Now, does that mean I sit and take it? No. Does that mean that there's boundaries? Obviously, yes, we're divorced. But
that's a boundary.
It just means that I don't have to project so much hatred and judgment onto him or feel myself in a place of victimhood. I'm able to see it from a larger picture of, okay, I'm having an experience that is being done that I may have done to someone at some point as well. And it's a balancing experience.
That's probably my favorite thing you've said. And even if, again, not playing devil's advocate so hard, but even if it's not true, that's a beautiful way to go through life and use that concept as a gift for growth, no matter what.
Right.
Whether or not you believe in past life or not, just to say, you know, this is a human. I'm learning from this in some some way. I'm growing. I'm learning. I will grow. It may be painful, but I will grow from this pain in some way.
Absolutely. Which really makes me believe that karma is a gift.
And it allows you, which is one of the things I try to practice, but is very challenging as a human, is to allow you to not have judgment. Right.
Exactly.
To understand him from that perspective and understand like, okay, this is something I need to grow properly. It takes away, like you said, your judgment of him and saying, I'm better than you. You're worse than me. It puts us all at an even keel. We're just understanding everyone's actions and reactions differently.
And not only grow properly as a soul, but let's get to your question about in this lifetime.
Right.
In this lifetime, how is he allowing me to grow?
Yes.
In this lifetime, this relationship with this man has taught me so much about advocating for my own value, has taught me so much about boundaries. As someone who is so love-oriented, I have always wanted to love first, ask questions later.
Right.
And this person, single-handedly, has allowed me to bring about this stronger aspect of myself who loves herself enough to say, no, it's not acceptable. What an incredible gift he's given me to be able to express that aspect of myself, who can protect herself, who loves herself enough to say, you know, yes, I am a loving being that wants to put love in the world, but that also means I have to ensure that I am receiving love and that I love myself enough to not allow harm to come into my system.
Right.
Those boundaries, those were hard learned lessons that came from this human being. And so in a place of non-judgment, I can see his role in this personality's lifetime of expansion is that he had to be, it's like he was handed a script by a director that was like, this is what she needs to learn. Go ahead and unleash all of this because you're playing an important role in shining this aspect of this diamond so that she can really come into herself.
If you use it properly, I'm sure a lot of people take those moments in their lives and allow it to beat them down and feel
absolutely
horrible about themselves. But you took it. That's what I'm saying, that I find this concept to be a great way to ensure personal growth, right?
Absolutely.
If you are able to apply it in other situations. I'm curious what your explanation is of if we're going with the theory that everything we do is about our soul's journey through other times. What is the value to him, to your ex-partner, to behave in this way? What was the journey of his soul leading up to now to then cause this behavior?
I don't know. Because his soul's journey is not something that I've spent a lot of time on.
Right.
Right?
I'm curious, I guess.
Yeah, that's for him to figure out. I don't know what it might be. I don't know that it is his turn to be on the other end of creating harm because he experienced harm like this.
Maybe.
I don't know. And it's none of my business.
100%. I was just curious to further cement this concept of karma. That was all.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, I say that in that way to say that's actually what I think can trip us up. Is trying to figure out, well, why is someone else behaving this way? What does this mean about their soul's journey? Like, that's not the point.
Right.
The point is the experience I am having
and what I
am learning and growing from in this experience. Absolutely.
I feel like that's been a real mantra for me in my 40s. And I will say, I can think back to several experiences throughout my life of being friends with you, where you have said to me, and I didn't really internalize it until more recently, what did you take away from this? You know, what's your biggest takeaway here? What did you learn from this shitty situation? And I was always like, I didn't learn anything. I just learned how to be sad. But now I'm like, oh, I learned something. It may have not been what I wanted to learn, but I learned something. I now know something I didn't know before.
Yeah. And it's important to me to share a difficult experience.
I agree.
Because I think it's easy to hear people talk about this and feel like, well, what do you know? Your life has been so blessed.
I was like, good karma all the way.
Your life is so easy and I'm the one suffering and experiencing harm. And I just, I want to say that all of my work and my teaching comes from experiencing deep suffering and pain in this lifetime, whether that was, you know, being on the verge of poverty as a child or experiencing abandonment from my father or being in a marriage that did not serve my highest good. I just want you guys to know what I say is about walking alongside you on this journey. It is never from up ahead in a more privileged and entitled space. It comes from experiencing pain and hardship. So when you hear me say that karma is my teacher, It's Melissa's boyfriend, but it's my teacher.
Yes, obviously.
That I mean it because I've experienced the pain and suffering side of it. It's not all light and love and puppies that makes me say that to you.
I feel like the title of your next book should be Karma is My Teacher. Just saying. Okay.
Put it out there.
I did want to ask because people are always saying in that punishment aspect of karma, like, you know, don't do that. Karma, what do we say? Karma will get you, right?
Yeah.
Is it even possible then to, does it even matter if we do operate from a place of love and good karma and whatnot, if our journey is already sort of late, according to the karmic theory, if our journey is already laid out for us because of a past lifetime? Does it matter if we're good or bad, quote unquote, in this lifetime?
Yes.
If what's being handed back to us is not directly related to our current lifetime's actions.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because can we get good karma?
Yes, you can put intention behind cultivating good karma.
Great.
And
how?
That has a ripple effect in this lifetime and in your soul's experience moving forward. So it's like you're putting money in the bank. And you can use it in this lifetime, and that money is going to earn interest, and it's going to then expand. It's going to expand in the next lifetime. So the ripple effect is absolute, absolute.
And our karma, we can impact this lifetime's karma based on our actions in this lifetime.
Absolutely. Great. And Gary Zukav talks about this in his book. The best way to think about that is the golden rule. What's the golden rule?
I hope I'm right. Treat others as you want to be treated, which is how I truly tried to live my life by.
Exactly.
I believe in it.
So karmic balancing can be just living by the golden rule, which is that I am going to constantly engage with other organisms the way that I want to be engaged with.
Right.
And that is respecting everything on a level that you want to receive respect back from. Right.
I was just going to say a little side note is I'll be really great to you until you're not really great to me. Then I'm not going to give you all my energy. I will say that.
There's a difference between giving someone all your energy, which I agree with. When someone does not deserve your energy, you have to contract your energy.
Right.
That does not mean that you create harm in their lives.
Correct. Agreed.
Right. Right. So that's karma isn't saying you have to keep giving energy to people who don't value it.
Right.
Karma is just saying don't create harm in the lives of someone else or something else, an animal, because that experience of harm will come back to you. But it does not mean, like I was giving in the example with my ex, that you're supposed to have no boundaries and just take a bunch of harm.
Right. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer your question about balancing karma or cultivating good karma,
yes,
the way that you can start is just by really thinking about what are ways that I may be creating harm right now, whether that is making someone feel abandoned, ignored, hurt, left out, judged. Judgment is a big one. It's one we all do all the time, right? So how am I creating harm through those negative intentions towards someone else?
Right.
Awareness about those things is going to help you do the opposite. It's going to help you drop that judgment. It's going to help you drop that, you know, not creating belonging in them. It might allow you to bring people in it only to a level where they will not create harm in your life, right? I'm not saying everyone should have full access to
Correct.
You. So that's one way to cultivate it. The other way is, what is the good that I can put in the world? How can I live an existence and an experience that is loving, that is open, that creates belonging, that grants other, not that anyone can grant you dignity, but treats people with dignity, right? That always respects other people's autonomy so that I am putting out an experience in the world that is full of good and full of love, which comes back to me.
I love that. I do. I really love that.
Do you have a majestic quote to
top that with? No, I mean, surf the waves, but I think it's a beautiful, whether or not you believe in karma, I think it's a beautiful way to approach life anyway. I know that it gets challenging and things feel really heavy when lots of shitty things happen to you if you're a good person, but I think it's a great rule of thumb for life.
And so to answer the question you asked earlier, which is, yeah, you're talking about all of these lifetimes. What about this lifetime?
Yeah.
Even in this lifetime, if you feel that you're experiencing suffering and pain and you buy that it has something to do with the past life experience, okay, what can I do with that now? How can I, what am I learning from it? How am I growing from it? Who am I becoming because of it? How am I becoming more myself, more aligned to my truth, more aligned to my power and my dignity and my connection to something larger? How is this experience allowing that to happen? Is one way you can work with it in this lifetime. And two, how am I going to behave and act in a way that creates a positive ripple effect moving out and moving forward that will ultimately come back to me because of the law of karma?
And if you believe in the lifetimes, it will ultimately come back to you in your next lifetime. You are like paving the way, right? You're like paving the way to have a more peaceful next lifetime.
Right, right. All right, Bean. That's it. That's karma. I feel like that was a little short and sweet.
I thought it was succinct in a helpful way.
Good. So what's your famous takeaway?
My famous takeaway is that karma is not related to this one lifetime, which I struggle with because I go in and out of believing in different lifetimes, but it really helps to reframe when bad things happen to good people, which I've always struggled to understand in my own life. Mm-hmm. Like, why them? Why now? Or even sometimes, why me? Why this moment? Why does this have to happen in my life?
Beautiful. All right, Bean. Thank you again for a great conversation. Guys, if you valued this conversation, learned anything, please, please, please share it with your friends and family. That helps us a lot. That's the best way you can support us. Another way you can support us is to leave us a review anywhere that you're listening to this podcast and rate it as well. And as always, we will be back next week with another topic. Bean, love you.
Love you.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadet, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.